tonight on something that we all know. There's nothing new here at this church that we teach. Now, I'm going to speak on God's sovereignty in general. I mean, there's a lot of things that can be said, and I'm not going to say anything unless I'll edit or find my notes. That's not them. That's paid for. You believe this? Oh, well. I'll just leave that part out. Anyway, sovereignty, I had a definition of it, and sovereignty is just means you're independent on your own. And when I speak of sovereign, it's you do as you will. No one has control of you. The United States is a sovereign state. We're sovereign. We have no outside forces, so to speak, that controls us and tells us what to do. God is sovereign. He is creator. He has created all things. No one tells him what to do with what he's created. He has no outside forces that affect him. He does things according to his will. He is sovereign. And that's what we mean when we speak of sovereignty, God being sovereign. And I'm going to speak tonight on his divine sovereignty. Now, there's a lot of attributes of God. And this is where I'm just having to wing it because I can't find my notes. This is not them, but there's a lot of attributes of sovereignty, right? Of who God is. He has lots of it. He's omnipotent. He's all powerful. He's omnipresent. There's nowhere that he doesn't feel. He's got the attribute of being holy. He is he has infinite knowledge. I've said that it's unlimited. He's never learned anything, right? So there's a lot. But the one I want to speak tonight is his gifts. He's sovereign in giving out gifts. And I'm getting a lot of my notes from Spurgeon. And he has a lot of sermons out there floating around in this world. But yeah, he's my teacher tonight and my guide and my helper. So y'all bear with me. So I guess if we had a scripture we want to look at, it's in Matthew 20:15. Matthew chapter 20. In verse 15, that'll be our jumping off spot. I guess we could back up a little and try to get things in context. Let's see, like in he has hired, this is a man that has hired people to go out in his field, and he hired some the first hour, in the middle hour, at lunchtime, and in the evening he hired them, and they agreed to do a price. So the guy that came at the very last hour, he paid him, this guy, the same amount of money as he did the guy that started. It's 7 o'clock in the morning, so you can see, and I'd probably be in that group too, murmuring and complaining. Why in the world is he? In verse 13, but he answered one of them and said, "Friend, I do thee no wrong. Dost not thou agree with me for a penny?" And he did. Yeah. Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? That's what he's asking these people. He's sovereign in it. Can I do what I will with mine own? Is it not lawful for me to do that? If I want to pay the guy a penny, I will. That's just, I'm sovereign in that. I'm the owner. So that's, that's what we're going to jump off here. Now, let's see. How do I say this? You know, humanly speaking, we say that's not right, right? Can God say this? It is to His children He can say it. In it is lawful for Him to do those things. He does these things, so. So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few are chosen. That's absolutely right. And I got a note there. It says, look at verse 23. And He said unto them, ye shall drink indeed of My cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on My right hand, on My left, it's not Mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of My Father. He can do what He wills. Uh-huh. Now, the world hates this doctrine that we just have stated. They don't like that. They like to have part of it. But, you know, it's like, huh?
That's right.
It's most comfortable into His children when we come into circumstances. We really believe that God is sovereign in handing out trouble to us. You know that? He's also sovereign to ordain that those things. Look at Job. It's His sovereignty that overrules, and it's His sovereignty that will cleanse us and bring us back. It's Him. It's Him alone. The world doesn't like it. They don't love a God on His throne when He has a right to do as He wills, to dispose of His creatures as He thinks, even without consulting them. He's not loved when He puts the so-called sepulcher in His hand, is He? He's okay any other time, but when He sits on His throne and puts His crown on His head and becomes king, a sovereign king, and shows His right to do what He will with His own, then people doesn't like that. But we love that. I love it to know that He is in control. Now, this God that we're speaking of in this particular attribute of His sovereignty is He has a right to distribute His gifts. We may call them blessings. Okay, you can interchange that word. He's sovereign in His distribution of His gifts. Now, He has a right to do as He will with His own, right? And He does it. Not only does He have the right to do it, but He does it. We have no claim. Let's get this straight right off the bat. We have no claim to His blessings or His gifts. We don't. It's not by our own merit. We are fallen creatures. And if He wants to snuff us out, that's His right to do what He wants to. But He doesn't do that, does He? He issues out blessings and gifts, and He does it according to His will, as He sees fit, as He wants to do it. And there's Brother Spurgeon, he broke it down into five gifts, and that's what we're going to look at, that we could kind of sort them out if we're going to put them in order. Temporal gifts, saving gifts, honorable gifts, useful gifts, and comfortable gifts. Now, in each one of these gifts that are handed out, we can keep asking or keep repeating this in Matthew. Is it not lawful for Me to do what I will with Mine own? Let's keep that as our theme all during this. It is lawful for Him to do that. What these gifts that I'm fixing to talk about, He can give them out the way He wants to, because He's sovereign. He has a right to do it. He created us. He hung the stars in the sky. It's okay for Him to light up the stars, isn't it? Man says that's okay. You can put the mountains and the oceans in order and keep the oceans from going out of their banks. That's okay. But when He comes to issuing these gifts, they say, no, wait just a minute. We got something to do with this. Now, the first group would be what we'd call the temporal gifts. Now, he's not given every man alike these gifts. They're different. Not the same amount of happiness or standing in creation. Some people go through life happy. Others, they're sad all the time. Now, what made the difference in that? Well, it's God that makes the difference. Our standing in creation. Some of us have prestigious jobs. Some of us are just plain old workers, dishwashers or whatever. We have different standings. And it's God. It's God that makes the difference. He is the one that gives us these gifts. And if you have been blessed with temporal gift that is happiness and good standing in your life, give him the glory. It's nothing we deserve. We don't deserve anything but his judgment. Another thing is men's personality. We're not all the same. And it's because God issues these gifts the way he sees fit. Our personalities, there's a Saul involved. He's big in stature, probably 7 foot tall, shoulders wide as this house, these doors in his house. Now, there's a lot of people born like him. There's also a lot of people born like Zacchaeus, a little short fella. Paul, I think, was short. And what made that difference? We didn't make the difference, did we? No, God made the difference. It was his right to make Saul the way he did. It's his right to make you and me the way he did. And if he wants to make me short and fat and bald-headed, that's his right. I had nothing to do with that. I just give him the glory. Now, some people are born blind. They never see the light of day. Some people are deaf. They're born deaf. They've never heard. We may have the greatest hearing in the world and best vision. What made the difference? It's God. His sovereignty. God's sovereignty in issuing out these gifts is his right. He's got a right to do with his creatures what he wants to do with them. And none can stay his hand. There's a lot of people that's greater than me and you in our stations of life, isn't it? Yes. Our vigor, our health. We just went and visited Ray. He's just constantly something's wrong with him. Now, I know he brings a lot about it on his own, but other people go through life and have never had any issues at all as far as their health is concerned. It's God that makes that difference. That person born blind, he didn't. God put him that way for a reason. There was a reason for that. Men, they got all kind of answers for the right answer, But you know what Christ said? He said, "Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight to do those things." Look at Matthew. He's already in 20. Go to 25. Let's see. No, Matthew 11. Go back a little bit. Back to Matthew 11. 25. Well, let's start 23. Thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. And at that time Jesus answered and said, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight." Now, what was the difference there? It was God. He was sovereign in revealing some things to some folks and not reveal them to other folks. Some people are just left out in the dark, and it's not anything because we're smarter than them. It's just that God seemed fit to reveal it to these people over here in Matthew. It was God that done what pleased him in this situation. Again, we'll say it again. Is it not lawful for me to do what with mine own. Is it not lawful for him to do that? It is. He. How about the distribution of mental gifts? These Einsteins that run around. Sir Isaac Newton. Are we all like that? They got some people is just born dumb all their life. And yet other people are like Einstein, geniuses. What made the difference? It's God. That's what I'm trying to get over tonight. God is sovereign in issuing these gifts, these blessings out. If you've been blessed to be smart, to work on computers or work on gasoline engines or just wise and understanding these difficult problems, don't take any pride in that. It's God that gave you that talent. It's a God-given talent. And he has that right to give these Einsteins out. And other people are not that smart. Even though they go to school, let's say there's two sisters or two brothers that are raised in the same family, go to the same school, sit on the same mama's knee, and she drills these instructions in them every day, every day, every day. And one of them grows up to be a genius, smart as a whip, and the other one just a plain old Jane. It's God that makes a difference. He's got that right to do that. Well, I got interested in watching this Jeopardy. They got a guy on there that's won over $1 million. He's smart. He just got a mind, I guess like a photostatic mind. Everybody's not like that. Why? Is it because he went to school and really studied hard? Well, maybe that helped him. But if you're not born with that genius gene, you can go to school all your life. I'd never be able to do that. Right? How about the gift of men's conditions in this world? One's born into riches. Another is born, in royalty. Another's born in poverty. A pauper, so to speak. Somebody living on the street. Now, they may have put themselves on the street, but what I'm saying is, God puts us in our stations of life. He's right to do that. We have no complaint. We should have no complaint. Or ask him why he does those things. God gives a long life to some. Good health, like I said. And then others, their life is over in just a moment. That little infant lived 2 or 3 days. And they're gone. If you're enjoying a long, healthful life, give God, humble yourselves and give God the glory for it, because it's He that's done that. His sovereignty in issuing these gifts out to us is what I'm saying. It should make us humble, not boasters. Boy, look what I am. No. Give God the glory and the credit for it. He's sovereign. It's God that's ruler and the king. That's the difference. That's what we need to understand tonight. Boast not of yourselves, for all these gifts come from God. They do. Brother Spurgeon, like he said, the flowers boast not. And they're beautiful. They don't boast about it. Be not vain. It's all from God. He did create it. And he can take it away from you. If you don't believe it, turn to Daniel chapter 4. I want to read that right quick. We know what this is, but I love it. I love this the doctrine of sovereignty and God rules and reigns. And I get up here and I can't even find Daniel, I tell you. Well, I'm looking at the Old Testament, but I know it's past Exodus. I see. I can't find either one of them. I see Job. Daniel, I got it. Daniel, I got it. Yeah. 424. Look at this, man. What was we talking about? God, don't be boasting about 424. This is the interpretation, O king. Daniel's fixing to tell him what's fixing to happen here. He's had a dream, and now he's going to interpret it for him. Because he was just in his palace saying, boy, look what I've done. Okay. O king, this is the decree of the Most High which has come upon my Lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. You shall be wet thee with the dew of heaven, seven times shall pass over thee till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Now that's his sovereignty right there. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree, the kingdom shall be sure unto thee after that thou have known that the heavens do rule. The heavens do rule. Oh. Look down at verse 30. The king spake and said, now this is after Daniel done told him what's going to happen. Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of thy kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from you, and they will drive you from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and shall make thee to eat grass as an oxen, seven times over pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Our God is sovereign. And when we start, he gave King Nebuchadnezzar, he set him up as king over the entire world. Blessed him beyond measure. There's people starving to death in that kingdom, but yet he was the real deal. He had the armies at his command, but he didn't give God any glory for it. He boasted. He was proud of what he'd done. But yet he didn't. It's God that did this, and he didn't recognize, he didn't give God the glory for it, and he was struck down. So let's just be humble if we are healthy, if we have a good statue and a good position in life and a good standing, and we got families and we got a job or whatever it may be, give him the glory for it. Don't be going around boasting, or we may just wind up like this. The gift of saving. He gives us a gift of saving. Men hate this. They say, no, we get that gift on our own. It's our will that saves us. It's God that gives out this saving gift. Fallen angels only have the right to complain, not man. You know, fallen angels were cast immediately out of heaven. They wasn't given any mercy, no second chance, nothing. He cast him out. He could have done that with us when Adam sinned. You know that? We could have been gone. But yet, in his mercy and grace, in his sovereignty, he has a right to reach down there to fallen man to pick out some of Adam's race and to save them. We call them the elect, the chosen ones, the sheep. You call them what you want. But it's God's sovereignty that he done that. He had the right because he wanted to. How did we say that? Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Wouldn't it have been a lot better if he'd just give those fallen angels a second chance? They could have been a whole lot more benefit to him than we are. He didn't even give them any chance. Oh, there's no mercy forever for them. Let me read something here. I want to read this a little thing. Once cast out, their doom was sealed. While men were respited, now that word means to grant or delay the carrying out of a execution. While men were respited, redemption was sent into their world, and a large number of them chosen to eternal life. That is God giving the gift of salvation to us. It's his choice. He's got the right. He's sovereign. Look at Israel versus the Gentiles. It's God's sovereignty right there, all over it. It's not that Israel, those Jews, were any better than those Syrians or the Egyptians. As a matter of fact, they were worse. hundreds of times they turned their back on God and set up idols. They rejected him. They made false gods, started idolatry worship. But yet God chose Israel for his own namesake, for his people, and not the others. It was his right to do what he wanted to do with his own. That's all you can say. It wasn't because Israel was any better than the other nations. I can prove that. You just read some of that Old Testament, what those people did to God. He should have wiped them out every chapter. He sent his word to us. That's another gift. While the majority of the people are without his word. You ever thought about that? America's been so blessed. It's nothing in us if we deserve. We ain't no better than that. Those Syrians or those folks down there in the Congo. But yet, they're in darkness, so to speak, compared to us. We're in light. It's because of God. He chose to do that. He sent us his word. You can narrow that down even more. Out of a congregation, God displays his sovereignty both in that within a congregation. Now, the preacher can get up here and preach to the congregation, and we've been blessed. God chose to send the gospel here, right? But you can narrow it down even more. When the gospel being preached here, the congregation not all hear it. There may be two sitting out there side by side, and one of them hear the word, and it's converted and sees Christ a substitute for his sins. The other one cannot see it, even though the gospel is being preached to him. Well, what's the difference? What makes the difference? Well, it's God. That's one of those notorical questions.
Rhetorical.
It's God that makes the difference. How about the two thieves on the cross? They were both murderers. They were both convicted. They were both deserving what they was fixing to get. But one of them returned and repented. It's God that made the difference. Same preacher, same truth, but yet the next time another one here and the rest of them doesn't. God makes the difference. People argue that's unjust. They do. They say, no, we make the difference. He said, and this is one thing I picked up from him, Brother Spurgeon. He said, a father, these people, one of their arguments is, a father would not do that between his children. In other words, what I'm saying is, he has a right to bestow what he wants, his gifts, the way he wants to. He may give you good health and you bad health, or he may make you tall and you short. And their argument is, well, our father, if he gives all the blessings to one guy and makes the other guy unhealthy and poor and he dies early, he's not right. That's not right. Well, the problem is with that argument is, it's not, you can't call God your father unless you're a child. The truth is, it's a judge versus a sinner, not a father and his children. Now, yes, when we're regenerated, we become his children. That's a different story. We have a relationship. We have a father. He's not the father. He is not the father. How do they say that? The fatherhood of man. He's not the father of every man. Christ made that very clear. He said, "You are your father, the devil." Yeah, you. He says here, you know, a lot of people say, "Our Father which art in heaven." That's what the scripture says. Well, we can't say that until we're regenerated, right? It's like I say, it's not the father and the child. It's the king and his subject. That's where the relationship is. Until you are born again, you are a subject to the king that sits on the throne, a sovereign king. As a matter of fact, the subject doesn't even have any claim to the king. And we have claim to the Father because we his sons, right? So we can claim something because he's our Father. But if you are a subject to the king, you have no claim. There's none. The king, the sinful creature, is at the mercy of the king, is what I'm trying to say. So our third point would be honorable gifts. He gives out honorable gifts to whomever he sees fit to do it. In other words, the gift of knowledge. Now, this ain't the gift. I'm not talking about the gift of knowledge that the apostles got. Some people are just smarter. I'll put it in an easier term. Smarter than other people. You see what I'm trying to get at? They can read a book and recite 90% of it. I can't do that. I can keep a book right in front of me and not be able to recite 90% of it. But it's his gift that he gives people that has the gift of doing it. It's a blessing for them. And I respect them. But it's God that makes the difference. They didn't. They can't study. Now, they can study to improve their skill, their talent, right? But if God didn't give you that talent to play that piano, you can practice for the next 20 years and you can just one finger note it. But if you have that talent, take it and improve on it, is what I'm trying to say. But it's God that put that seed there. It's God that made that man smart, turned him to a genius, so to speak. Yeah, he's going to study and improve on it, but it's the gift of knowledge, and it's a wonderful thing, and God gives that out. How about an office is an honorable gift, like in a church, like in the office of a deacon or the office of a minister. He didn't call everybody to be ministers and deacons, and you know, he called some people to be piano players or custodians in the church. We all have different makeup. Members have different things to do. He didn't call everybody to be the minister. And sure, not me. He didn't call everybody to be the teachers. So it's an honor to get gifts like that from God. He bestows them on whom he will in his church. And we need to be humble if we do have a talent. And we need to improve on it. But so you have the honorable gift of office in a church. You know, like a deacon, that a minister, especially a minister, that office is higher than the president of the United States. And not everybody is given that. So. You know, he placed David on a throne, didn't he? Everybody wasn't called to be king, but God called his own. He called David. It was his right to do that. He called Moses to be a leader of Israel. He chose Daniel to stand among the princes. He chose Peter to be an apostle to the circumcision. It was his right to do with his own what he wanted to do. Those who have not been chosen must learn the great truth of what God says. And I'm going to repeat it again. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? It is lawful. He can do it. He's king, he's sovereign, and he's right. Our fourth gift, so to speak, is the gift of usefulness. This gift is a result of God's sovereignty also. Now, we can find fault if someone not being as useful as us, can't we? They're not being as useful as much as we are. Boy, I'm quick about that. But you know what? It's God that gives that gift of usefulness. Some people are just more useful than others. And it's not that they're trying to be slothful or anything like that. It's just part of their personality. And if you have that gift or that blessing of being useful, seize upon it. Give God the glory for it. He's the one that gives out these gifts, isn't he? Let me quote something here. I got my note here for from Spurgeon. See what he says? When I am in darkness and suffer disappointment, I will look up and say, He giveth me songs in the night. And when I am made to rejoice, I will say, My mountain shall stand fast forever. Nope. That's the wrong one. That's the wrong quote. We may labor ourselves with all our might, but God alone can make us useful. That makes sense? It does. We can preach, we can put every stitch of canvas when the wind blows. He's talking about a sail there. But we cannot make the wind blow. It's God that makes us useful. And we need to seize upon that. Now, the ministerial gifts. One preacher will feed you full, and another, you just can't get anything out of it. It's their personality. These gifts, God gives some preachers, some ministers, that gift that you can just learn so much from them. But others, you sit under their ministry and you can't. It's not that, it's God that makes a difference, is what I'm trying to tell you. One can comfort a believer, but they cannot reprove a backslider. That's a gift some ministers that God gives. They can do certain things, and certain things they can't, is what I'm trying to tell you. Some preachers, they'll preach divinity, but not doctrine. Some will preach doctrine, but not divinity. It's just what God has called them to do. Some preachers, they can preach a sermon and people will be moved and convicted. And he can go preach that same sermon the next week and nobody will make a move. Why is that? It's God, it's the Holy Spirit that has that right to work in a person, so to speak, to quicken them, to they can hear, to give them the ears to hear. Now, the last gift, we about finished, is comfortable gifts. These are gifts that God does. They also of Him, because He's sovereign to make people give these gifts out. We enjoy these in the ordinances of God's house in a ministry that is profitable. It's God that works in our church. It's God that makes our ministry profitable. Some churches are just there. It's not there. They have a congregation, but their ministry is not profitable. I don't know what they're doing. But just look at the comfortable gifts when we have sweet communion. It's God that it keeps that spirit amongst us. We believe the scriptures were ordained. A lot of churches don't believe that. They want to tear out half of them. These gifts that God gives us are comfortable to us. They make us comfortable. They make us happy. They give us joy to know that we have sweet communion, that the scriptures are what we live by, and they are the living word of God. Our faith and our hope grows because of this. These are gifts that God gives us, and we should give Him the glory and the honor for it. A lot of these churches, they have not a ministry of this kind. Believe me, Neil's talked about them several times. It's God that makes the difference. If God is not working a work in there, they're wasting their time. We're wasting our time. Those of us that have strong faith, guess what? We can laugh at things that seem to be impossible. People that don't have strong faith, they can't do that. That's a gift that God has given you if you can do that. We can sing worship songs in bad times as well as good. Some people see trouble brewing even during the calm. Man has a good job, you know, but he always sees himself being laid off. He sees trouble coming. He's just anxious. Well, God gives people comfortable gifts. You know, in other words, the other person, he's just opposite. He's cheerful. He sees a silver lining in every cloud, even no matter how dark that cloud's coming up on the horizon. He sees good things coming out of it. When the other guy, woe is me. No, those comfortable gifts that God gives us is a sweet they are. They something. What do we murmur over this? We shouldn't. We should never be caught murmuring like those children of Israel did. God hates that. He hates a murmur. Maybe not. He can do what I'm. I guess I'm gonna say this again. May he not do as he will with his own. He can. May he not take back what he has given. He can and he will. All our comforting joys and gifts are from God. You know, I guess I can conclude this by saying that I am unworthy of the least of his mercies. And we need, every one of us, that needs to be what our theme is. We unworthy. We don't deserve nothing that he gives us. He has the right to do with his own what he will. And we need to give him honor and glory for it. We can only ask for his mercy. Because he is sovereign and he is righteous and he does what he wants. In the army of heaven. Let's see how Daniel say that. And amongst the inhabitants of this earth. And none can say to him, what doest thou? Because he's sovereign and he's right. And we need to recognize that. And we do. And I love the doctrine of God's sovereignty. That's all I got. Brother Neil, would you dismiss us? Yes.